Yeah. So the name of your lesson is Worshiping God in His Sanctuary.
One commentary, when I was reading on this stuff, he started his commentary out as there's three kinds of believers in this world. Make believers, unbelievers, and believers. I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
This is all about fellowship with the Lord and stuff. And David, he had got the tent set up, and they said this was a Psalm of David's, this chapter. But the Ark of God was set up, and the Levites took their duties and stuff, and then the people and everybody was ready to worship God. And today, fellowship with God and other believers is good for our spiritual maturity and building faith and encouraging one another. We need to do this every day of our lives here on earth. That's
yeah.
what we're here for.
Yeah.
Back there for a long time, the altar was just disappeared more or less. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when you're out in the woods or out, all the birds and all the beautiful sound that the wind makes and everything. They say that even the sun rays makes beautiful noise too, and all this was the thing that the Lord can hear and enjoy. Why, I believe we'll be able to enjoy all those things when we get to heaven.
Yeah. And you know, here's something else I've been catching up on. The little parts here and there, it actually talks about what the new heaven will be like, the new earth will be like. Talks about the young men and the young ladies and all this stuff you got there. Yeah, I mean, you know, just little hints of this here and there.
Yeah.
Gives you.
Yeah. So today's lesson talks a lot about the importance of fellowship within the body of Christ. How important that is. And it doesn't necessarily say that you have to go to church to do it, but church is one place that we come together and fellowship, or we should be. A lot of it anymore isn't fellowship, because a lot of the bigger churches, most of the people will tell you they usually don't even know who they're sitting beside in church anymore. It's just come together, do their praise and worship, and go home. And so, but it's about fellowship. So it's not about a physical attendance. That's kind of what y'all were talking about. But it's about encouraging one another in God's love through the Word. The good deeds that you do for people, the good works that God has you to do, all these things that we do leading up to the time of Christ's return. So it's important that we do these things in our life. So, did somebody say something? Oh. Okay. So, it helps with the spiritual growth of the believer. God never intended for the believer to live a life in isolation, so to speak, away from other believers. His intent was always that the believers would gather together, they would fellowship with one another, they would worship the Lord, and they would help and encourage one another as we go through our life here upon this earth. So even if you're not together, believers are still spiritually united, right?
Yeah.
through your heart, through your mind, through the Holy Spirit. So that means that we pray for one another. We think often about one another. So this is one of the things that this is what part of what our fellowship within the body of Christ is all about. So you never will reach your full potential in Christ if you don't have fellowship, because fellowship means maturing in the Lord. This is where our maturity comes from. When we come together, we study together, and we talk about the things that God has done for us, and we feel that importance to be a part of the body of Christ. If you don't feel that you're important as part of the body of Christ, then this is where people stray away, and they don't come to church, they don't study, they don't read. So this is all what this fellowship is all about. It's helping one another to grow and to mature within the body of Christ. So as we do this, then the Bible, when you get on over into the New Testament, it talks about the importance of our place in the building of the church, with Christ as the cornerstone, the believers, as he calls them, lively stones, as part of being that foundation as the church begins to grow. So this is how, when we begin to live out our faith and the things that we profess, then fellowship within the body of Christ with the Lord is an important part of that, and has an important role to play in our lives. So a lot of times when I talk to friends that go to these bigger churches, it's no different than the smaller churches. It doesn't matter if they have 100 or 500 or 5,000, they usually will tell you the same 5 or 6 people still are the ones that do most of the stuff within the body of Christ. Well, God never intended for that to be. He intended for everybody to take part and have a part within the body of Christ.
Well, even nature praises God.
Yes. So before we get into Chronicles, in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Yep.
1 Peter chapter 2.
That goes to show you I can't type.
It took me a few minutes to figure out what I was doing.
1 Peter chapter 2.
He talked about it Wednesday night. I noticed that after he talked
about
it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 3, it says, "If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed by men, but chosen of God and precious," then he says, "you also are lively stones that are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice accepted to God by Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded." So when he was talking about this, he's wanting people to understand that you're not just an individual, and you're not just an individual that's kind of, you're a believer now, but then that's it, you're discarded. But he says we're a part of something. So, and we're a part of the dwelling place of God. And he says we're to be active within the body of Christ, the things that God has for us to do. So it's God's calling upon our life, and our faith is how we represent him. So which is our responsibility as we live down here upon this earth as believers. So we represent him by doing the work, the good work that he has instilled within each one of us to do. So each one, even though we're part of as a whole, we're individually chosen for a specific, what's the word I'm looking for? A specific work, or you're chosen to do something specific within the body of Christ. Now, not everybody that's chosen does what God wants them to do because we're not willing. We have to be willing to do those things. So, but everybody was chosen for a specific task within the body of Christ. So instead of being just part of the church, then he says you're an active part. That's what a living stone is all about. So that means not only are we active, but we're essential to the what God is building down here upon this earth. So he puts us in the place where he wants us to be. He makes sure he knows that we're secure in that, and then he wants us to follow through with the things that he has designed for us to do as we live our life down here upon this earth.
I got a question, but what if the person's not willing to be active?
Well, then God will eventually choose somebody. He'll eventually put somebody else there, but he would rather work with each individual to get them to that place, because he knows that when we're not doing what he would have us to do within the body of Christ, we're missing out on a lot of blessing, on a lot of things that he has in store for us. So he's going to work with us, but he won't let that go either. He'll have somebody else also.
He'll have to polish you up every once in a while. Go over you and polish you.
Right.
Yeah, and that the word understanding has to come with long arrow. You know, if you don't have that, how can you participate? That's the word I was wanting to get in there. But and anyway, you kind of put yourself in the back burner, you might say, because you're thinking, man, I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah.
That's doubt.
Yeah, there is a,
if you don't understand it,
when it comes to doing what God wants us to do, there is a lot, there probably is a lot of doubt whether I can do it or not, or whether, so we're not trusting, you know, enough in the Lord to, because if God has given us something to do, he's already given you the ability to do it. But if we're not willing, then we don't see that. So that's why you have a lot of churches today that are, they might be full, but there's no interaction. They're well, I go because, yeah, I better go to church this morning. I go, I listen, I do, and I go home, and then that's the end of it. But that's not, when we do that, we're missing out on a lot of what God wants us to be in our life. So he wants us to be active. That's why he says living stones or lively stones. He wants us to be active within the body of Christ. So there's a lot that each person can do within the body of Christ, and God has given each person an ability to do something. So we have to understand what that is, and then we have to allow God to lead us in doing that.
What about the lazy ones? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but what I mean is they say, well, so-and-so's doing it, so since they're doing it, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, a lot of that's probably immaturity, because they, you know, that's where encouragement comes in. This is why in this lesson it talks about encouraging one another within the body of Christ to help one another to overcome that. But it all comes through our spiritual maturity. So probably before a lot of people can find their place within the body of Christ, they have to learn to pray and to study and to meditate, and to, so that as they mature spiritually in the Lord, then they begin to understand what it is that God has for each one to do.
Okay.
Huh?
He wants us all to be righteous
mm-hmm.
according to his word.
Yeah. So he starts out in 1 Chronicles, and he says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. And then he says what? He says, show forth from day to day his salvation. So that's the active part of our life as a believer. Where he invites us to proclaim to whoever, whenever, wherever, what our salvation is truly all about. And he'll lead us in doing that, to share that with others around us. And of course, this, if you remember, when you go into Matthew, the last couple verses in the book of Matthew, Christ gives the great commission to his disciples. He says what? Go out into all the world and to teach and to and this is what it was for, to show others what our salvation is truly all about. So this is what helps to bring together everything that he starting clear back in the very beginning with Adam and Eve, up through the Old Testament, through the law of Moses, into the grace dispensation period. This is what brings all of this together and reveals what the faithfulness of God is truly all about. A lot of times we talk about our faithfulness to God, but we would have no faithfulness to God if God first didn't have faithfulness in us. So this is what he's trying to, he wants us to see. He says, so this is not only a command, it's not only a promise, but it's a word of encouragement from the Lord that here's what I want you to do. As being a part of the body of Christ, here's what I want you to do. Now, this comes from where? And you said David. So this originated in one of the Psalms. If you go back into the book in the 96th Psalm, verses 1 and 2, it says this exact thing. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song, all the earth, show forth our salvation from day to day. So that means that every day, God, it's meant for us to be active for the Lord every day in our life. So it's not, we don't just live, it's not just a once in a while circumstance. It's something that God wants us to do every day of our life. So, and this is, this shows that every day God has something new and there is no boundary with God. So we can either limit ourselves to doing hardly anything, or we can look and see that there is no boundary with God and we can pursue after something new every day in our life pertaining to the things that God wants us to do.
And he wants us to show our appreciation to him.
Right. So he's always got something for us to do every day of our life. So in 24 and 25, then he says, declare his glory. So now he gave some encouragement, and now he's saying, here's a command. Declare the glory of the Lord, he said, among the heathen. Of course, a lot of times when the Bible talks about the heathen, it talks about the Gentile nation, but we'll use it as those who are not have not accepted or not reject the word of the Lord. But he said, declare this and declare his marvelous works. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Now, when it says feared, it's not talking about the worldly emotion of fear as we know it. We're supposed to lift him up above everything else. So that means reverence to the Lord. We're to glorify him above everything else, because it says, for all the gods of the people they're only idols, but the one true God, the Lord, is the one that it has created all things, made the heavens. So he said, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Or so that means we, first of all, we're to recognize. We, you know, a lot of times the only time you recognize the power of God is when?
When he does something.
Yeah, when he does something for you. When you actually see his faithfulness. But we should see his faithfulness every day. So we should recognize that every day. And he says if you recognize it, then you should be proclaiming it. So how many times have you recognized something God's done, but you've kept quiet about it? Especially when you're out and about with other people and you recognize, and you think, oh, I wonder if I should say anything around all these people or not. So he says if you recognize it, then he said proclaim it, because if you can't proclaim it, then you can't live it.
Declare his glory among the
Hebrews. Yeah.
He said, you plant the seed, don't make it grow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, what did Paul say? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God, what, gave the increase. So, yeah, so we have to acknowledge it before we can do anything else with it, and then we have to do something about it. And it's part of our living testimony that God gives unto us. Now, you can't give a living testimony without being humble. And the reason most people don't give their living testimony, I mean, live out their life of salvation in front of others in the world, is because of pridefulness, worldly pridefulness.
And so, bears.
Huh?
And bears.
Yeah, yeah. So he says we have to bear that in our body, the image to be Christ-like, the image that we were created in, then we have to bear that within our body, meaning we have to live that every day of our life in everything that we do.
Christ says, if you're ashamed of me, he said, I'll be ashamed of you.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
In order to do all of that, we have to have the knowledge.
Yes, yes. So Paul, he relates to this over in, if you go over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he relates to it in a lot of his letters, but over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I hope I got this one right, verse 10, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning your salvation, the resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be made manifested in your body. So he's not asking you to do something. If you claim to be a believer, you've accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then you've experienced it. And he's not asking you to do something that you have not experienced. So if you've claimed to be saved, then all he asks you to do is allow others to see that experience that you have within you.
Does it go back to the phrase, like, I have to die daily?
Yeah, Paul said that, right. Meaning I have to give up the things of the world in order to
cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how we let our experience come,
right.
The example of that experience come forth. And he's not asking you to reveal or demonstrate anything that you haven't already acknowledged that you went through. So a lot of people think, well, I can't do that because I don't know nothing about it. Well, God wouldn't ask you to do it if you didn't know anything about it. You've already went through it. So,
that's why you called me, huh?
Yes. So
that goes back over into Proverbs 11:30. I talked about it earlier, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. That's
right.
Our fruit.
Yes.
Bears witness of Christ.
So Christ is evident in our life. We just don't always show forth that evidence to others around us. And he wants us to allow that to shine forth from within us, because that is a symbol that he dwells with it, just like being baptized by water. That's a symbol of what indwells within you. So this is what he wants us to do. So this is the pathway that he's chosen for us. And each person's pathway is unique. Even though it might seem like you're doing the same thing or saying the same thing or it being an example of the same thing, but each one is unique in their salvation. So that means each one has something different to offer about their salvation. But we have to see it. We have to be able to see that in our life before we can show others truly what it is all about. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and we all know this verse, it's very familiar, but these are questions that he asked. A lot of times we don't understand it, but he said here, I want you to think about this. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Which, and he goes ahead and says, so he's talking to the believer, which is in you. And he said, which ye have of God. So that means God gave it to you. And he says, and then he, again, this is part of the question. Don't you know now that you don't belong to yourself? You're not your own. You belong to the Holy Spirit that indwells within you. So he's trying to get them to understand here where even though we still make our own choices, and sometimes those choices aren't very good choices, Paul is trying to encourage them and get them to understand that all you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to do that. You don't have to take all that upon yourself anymore. Because the one that is living within you, that God gave unto you, you belong to them now. Let them make those choices for you. All you have to do is abide by them and follow after them.
God says you're in this world, but you're not of this world.
Right. So we have to be willing to allow that to happen in our life. But a lot of times we think if we give up that right, so to speak, then we won't be doing what it is that we want to do. And you probably won't be doing what it is you want to do, but you'll be doing what God wants you to do. So this sanctuary of God that the name of your lesson talks about is what? Yeah, it's we are, that's us. So when he says worshiping God in his sanctuary, this doesn't have nothing to do with this sanctuary. It has everything to do with this sanctuary. So when you see a lot of people out on the street and they profess to be believers, but if they're not worshiping God in his sanctuary, which means this sanctuary, then you can't tell that they're believers. So the purpose of us as believers is to show God through everything, through our actions, through our choices, through our lifestyle, the way that we live, because this is what this physical body now is a part of Christ's body, which is the church. So that means we're united with him, and that's what we're to be using it for. We're to be using it to serve God by serving others through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that he has given unto us.
Where did your soul come from in the first place?
Yep, that came from the
Lord.
Yep. That's the one thing that remains a constant in your life, your soul. Okay, verse 28, we're just going to go ahead and read down through the rest of these verses, and then we'll... So he says, given to the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, given to the Lord glory and strength. Given to the Lord. So now we're talking about what we're supposed to be doing. Because you notice these start, give. So given to the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, come before him, worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. And then he says, fear before him all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. And of course, when you go into the New Testament, talks about not being moved. We sing a song that talks about not being moved. Huh? Yes, that's right. So he says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that there is in. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. So all these promises, all these commandments, all these things that God gives unto us are warnings, but warnings that come with encouragement. So God never, judgment, warnings, anything that God does with the believer, it always comes with encouragement. Never, God never does anything to put you down. He only does things to lift us up. So we have to remember that. Now, sometimes when we're going through hardships or trials or tribulations or sufferings, we end up down because of it, but it's not because God put us there, it's because we put ourselves there. Yeah. So it all comes with encouragement, because he says when we're worshiping God in his sanctuary, which we've already established that his sanctuary is what? These earthen vessels that we have. So if that has stalled in our life, it's due to what?
Ourselves.
Our own lustful desires, our own sinful actions of the world. That's what it's due to. So, and God knows this. So instead of discouraging us even more, he encourages us to once again find that is within us, meaning look to that was in us instead of looking away from it. So now we're once again looking to the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within us. And he says when we begin to do this, then when you go over into 1 John 1:9, it says what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he goes on to say, if what? If we say we haven't sinned, then we do what? That's right. We make him a liar, and then the truth of his word isn't in us. So it's very important that we maintain our fellowship with God. And we can maintain that anywhere because he lives what? Within us. This is his sanctuary. So there's no reason that we cannot maintain that fellowship with God. Even though we find lots of reasons why we can't, there is no reason why we can't maintain that. So in order to do that, he says we have to acknowledge the need that we have in our life. Now, we say we have a lot of needs. I need this, I need that, but the only need that you have is to follow after the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. He'll take care of everything else. But sometimes our other needs, we prioritize ahead of that or over that in our life. So the way that we overcome this is we have to desire to have that relationship with God. And it has to be a genuine relationship with him only. And it should be easy because he dwells within us, but it's not so easy, even though he does dwell within us. So, and the only way that we can do that is through our obedience to his word. So, David, if you go back into the 32nd Psalm, David tells you how he done it. Psalm 32, verse 5, here's what he said. Here's what David said. First thing he said was, I acknowledged my sin, but he didn't just say, I acknowledged it. He said, I acknowledged it unto God. Because that's, if you acknowledge it to anybody else, it doesn't do no good. So if you go to the Catholic Church and go to confession, you acknowledge your sin to the priest, you didn't do anything, because more than likely he didn't acknowledge it to God for you either. So he just listened to you and said, okay. So he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, unto God. And he said, I didn't try to hide anything. So he said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And then he said, I know that thou forgavest that the iniquity of my sin. And we said the first thing that over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says basically the same thing for all believers. If we confess our sins, then we know he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means that when we're talking about worshiping God in his sanctuary, we can change that to worshiping God in our body. That means that we're using our physical, our whole self as a living sacrifice unto him, or as an active sacrifice unto him. So that means we're honoring him, we're glorifying him through everything, through our actions, by his purpose, recognizing who he is, that he lives within us through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So our life in Christ then is always, it's not about becoming this or becoming that, but it's about becoming who we are in our faith in him. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter, because you can't become anything without faith in God. That's the only way we can become anything in our life. So that means that we're a reflection of him to be used for his purpose, but only if we're willing to do so in our life.
We succeed because of God. We succeed in life because of God by faith.
Right. Yeah, we can't succeed without him. So next week you'll be in Isaiah, and we're going further into this. So I know you might read these and say, oh, this is the same as the lesson we had last time. But no, what we're doing is each week we should be getting a little bit more in depth, learning a little bit more about how we are and who we are in the Lord.
And we might get a little glimpse of what the future holds.
Right.